Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take my thoughts and my words tonight and that you would breathe life into them so that we can hear your word for us this evening and to fully comprehend why the coming of Jesus is so important for all of us. Amen. I think it's fair to say that we live in a secular post-Christian society. And the sad fact of Christmas, I think, is that for many people, Santa Claus is far more real and far more relevant to their lives than Jesus. In fact, and I hope I'm not going to get into trouble saying this, I think I would get into far more trouble going into a school telling children that Santa is a fictional character than I would if I went into school and said Jesus was a fictional character. In the 90s, I used to live in Harrowby, and one Christmas, some children were heard as they walked past St. Elizabeth Church in Harrowby. They were heard saying to one another, "That's where Father Christmas lives," as they pointed to the church. And last month, we had a group of local school children come and visit St. James, and we were showing them around the building and talking about the different aspects of the building and how this connects to the Christian faith. And one of the little boys put their hand up and he said, "Oh, I know how Christmas started." So I said, "Oh, yes. Would you like to share?" Thinking he was going to talk about the birth of Jesus and so forth. But no, he went on to tell me about Father Christmas and how he took toys to children at Christmas and so forth. There was a study done by Brent Cross Shopping Centre, of all people, of 1,005 to 12-year-olds. And what this study showed is that children are remarkably confused about the reason for this season. 35% of these children that were surveyed believed that Jesus was born at the South Pole, and 52% of them thought that the 25th of December was Santa's birthday. And asked about who is Jesus, one in five thought that he was a footballer with Chelsea Football Club. And others assume that he was either an astronaut or possibly an X Factor contestant. So I think that tells you a lot about the culture of our society at the moment. And I don't know if you've recently Googled Christmas and then searched for the images that come up. But if you put Christmas into a Google search and look at the images that you get up are of Santa Claus, Christmas trees and decorations. But there are hardly any images that come up in that Google search for Jesus and the Nativity. If you want pictures of Jesus and the Nativity, you would have to Google Christmas Jesus or the Nativity. But the word Christmas, Christmas itself, just brings up images of snowy landscapes, Christmas trees and decorations and Santa and elves and so forth. But as the evangelist J. John once said, if you remove Christ out of Christmas, all you are left with is M and S. You have to think about that one. So what I want to do tonight is just for a few minutes, not for long, is just reflect on the message of Santa and the message of Jesus. Because the message of Santa and the message of Jesus are very different. And understanding the differences between their two messages helps us to get to the very heart of what the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is all about. Now, the message of Santa is quite a simple one. And the message of Santa is that you are either on the naughty list or the nice list. And you only get a gift if you are on the nice list. Now, I'm not going to sing this, but you will be familiar with the words of the song. You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you are sleeping. He knows when you are awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And the song goes on. Now, apparently, each year, the Royal Mail receives 800,000 letters sent by children to their dedicated special address, which is Santa's Grotto, Reindeer Land. And in these letters, the children, hoping that they are very much on the nice list, write what they would like Father Christmas or Santa Claus to bring them at Christmas. So the message of Santa is you are either on the naughty list or the nice list. And if you're on the nice list, good news, you will get a nice gift at Christmas. The message of Jesus, however, is very different. In fact, the message of Jesus turns the message of Santa completely upside down. The good, the bad, the naughty and the nice, it's all switched around. Because according to the gospel of Jesus, there is no one good but God alone. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes this. He says, "For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. And those who claim that they are good enough are deluding themselves. The Apostle John, in his letter in the New Testament, writes this. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So if there was a list of who is naughty and who is nice, we would find that all of our names are on the naughty list. Without exception, none of us would be on the nice list. But that's just half the gospel message. And in fact, if that was the gospel message, it would not be good news for any of us. But the gospel of Jesus also flips what happens to the naughty on its head. Instead of being written off as not being good enough, the message to those on the naughty list is one of grace and love and forgiveness. Because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, offers mercy and forgiveness to all, even though we do not deserve it. And that's why the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate tonight, is so important. Why it is indeed good news. When the angel Gabriel visited Mary to announce that she was to give birth to Jesus, he said to her, "You will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now, the name Jesus means God rescues or God saves. And that's why Christmas is good news, because the child born in Bethlehem came to rescue us from sin and death. Because the child that was laid out in the crude wooden box became the saviour of the world, laid out for us on the cruel wooden cross. God did for us through Jesus what we cannot do for ourselves. There is only one person who has ever lived in this earth who was perfect, and that person was Jesus. The Apostle Peter, in his letter in the New Testament, writes this: "Jesus committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." Jesus came into the world to live as one of us. He was both fully human, but also at the same time fully God. And he took upon himself our guilt, our shame, our sin. He led a perfect life because we can't. And then he gave his perfect life freely on the cross as a substitute for our sins, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. All those who put their trust and faith in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And that's why Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes this: "God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that is the gift that Jesus offers us, not just at Christmas, but every single day. The promise of forgiveness and eternal salvation to all those who receive him in faith. Now, the reality is God knows that we are not perfect. Each one of us messes up. He knows that we are on the naughty list. But because he loves us, on account of Christ, the promise is that when we truly repent of our sins, when we turn to him, he wipes the slate clean, he forgives us and grants us his eternal salvation. And unlike Santa, God's gift doesn't depend on what we do. Instead, it depends on what has been done for us through Jesus. You see, ultimately, Santa is all about us and about the stuff we so desperately want. But Jesus is about something so much more important. It's about the grace that we so desperately need. So I would say to you that if you've never done so, please receive this free gift of God's love tonight, that he is extending you tonight. That was the plan set in motion that first Christmas in Bethlehem's manger. And it is the greatest gift any of us could ever receive. And it's very simple to receive it. All we have to do is to say sorry to God for the things that we've done wrong, to say thank you to him for Jesus and the fact that Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, and to receive his love, and then to enter into relationship with him and discover the abundance of life that he offers each one of us, and also to be part of his family, the church, as well. Amen. We're going to affirm.